Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In college, I was introduced to the writings of Frank Peretti. His best-selling books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, captivate by how they tell the story of spiritual warfare permeating the lives and struggles of unaware humans. While the story of the little guys facing the giants is intriguing in itself, seeing the powers of darkness and of light manipulating the vents behind the curtain heightens the excitement. As a piece of fiction, the theology isn't always the strongest, but it sure ignites the imagination on one of the most intriguing topics of the Bible. What we know, or at least what we think we know about angels, tends to come more from culture than it does from the pages of Scripture. For Scripture doesn't say much about the angels. What it does reveal is that the angels were created sometime during the 6 days of creation. All the angels that there ever were, are, or will be, were created at that time. As angels are not born, neither do they die. This means, of course, that our loved ones who have died in the faith do not become angels, nor would we want them to be. For the promise of Christ, as even revealed in our text today, is that for those who have died in the faith, while their body rests in their ground, their souls rest with Him. Angels, at least the good ones, by contrast, are actively working to enact God's will on heaven and on earth. They are in constant battle with the evil angels that turn to oppose God. Though this battle does not unfold as Frank Peretti would lead us to believe, with the outcome left uncertain dependent upon the will and prayers of men. Through John's vision, we get a short glimpse of the truth of this battle. John reports, "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon." Just before this, John sees Christ caught up, ascended before the throne of the Father. And with his entrance into the heavenly realms, a war broke out. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. Most pastors and theologians I have heard preach or teach assume much concerning this war, even good Lutherans. They assume that this is Satan's last stand, charging the gates of heaven. Yet, that's not quite where this and other biblical texts lead us. Instead, they lead us to something that is both intensely terrifying, yet eternally comforting at the same time. And if we're not paying close attention, we'll miss it completely. John specifically says, "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated and there was no longer any place for them in heaven." This wording leads us to believe that at the ascension of Christ, there was a purging of the heavenly places. Satan and the evil angels did not instigate this war. Up until this point, they had access to the very throne of God, where Satan would accuse us day and night. Think of Job, where Satan came before the Lord after roaming about the earth and boasted that if Job were just pushed hard enough, he would rebel against God and fall into sin. No, Satan enjoyed this privilege to approach God. Instead, with the return of the crucified, risen, and ascended Christ before the throne, Michael and the good angels were dispatched to cast Satan and his angels out of heaven forever. We cannot plunge into the mysteries of the heavenly places where our eyes cannot see. But John is given the sweet revelation that we may know there is no longer a place for Satan before the throne of God, and that the action of Michael and his angels was swift and decisive. Think about what all this means. This means that your accuser no longer has access to the judge. He was thrown out of the courtroom, and security now bars the doors, refusing to let him back in. There is no longer anyone to give witness and testimony of your sin before the Father. Instead, the only testimony he now receives is on your behalf, and that is the blood of the Lamb. For Christ comes before the Father's throne, interceding for you, pleading your case, stretching out his wounded arms for your sake, and says, "Father, forgive them, for I have died and faced hell in their place. Their sins I have paid for and washed away." In this way, Christ has secured your salvation forever. This gives us eternal comfort. But at the same time, it is also a terrifying thought. For when Satan was cast out of heaven by Saint Michael and the angels and denied any further access, there was only one place left for him to go. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Like the rage of a madman who has been denied his heart's desire, along with the desperation of knowing his sealed fate of eternal torment and condemnation is near, we have the wrath of the devil poured out upon us day and night. Woe to you, O earth and sea! Satan no longer has access to accuse you before the throne of God. He cannot touch your salvation. He cannot touch your soul. So instead, he will come after you with whatever he has available to him, with more fury and determination than he came after Job. He will attack your body and mind. He will even enlist them in his plight against you. He will throw temptation after temptation before you in an attempt to get you to forfeit your own salvation, to disqualify yourself from everlasting life by blaming God for your misfortune and turning your back on what he freely offers. Satan wants nothing more than to devour you and drag you down into the fiery pit with him. And in truth, no man can withstand him, resist him, or stand up underneath his fury. This is why this revelation into the battle of Saint Michael and all angels is so important for us to understand. Not only does God place his angels to bar Satan and the evil angels from even entering the heavenly places to accuse us, but God also sends his angels to you and to me, and especially to our children, to watch over, guard, and protect us. But why then is Satan still allowed to touch us, to sift us? Is it because at times he and the evil angels are able to overpower God's angels? Of course not. For the angels of God are able to act just as swiftly and decisively as they did when they cast Satan and the evil angels out of the heavenly places. For his own purposes and reasons, then, God himself allows his angels to draw back ever so slightly to allow Satan to touch us, for the testing of our faith and the refining of our faith. But God never, he never allows Satan to overwhelm us, to take away your faith. This he reveals through James. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And through Paul he says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. That escape is the very blood of the Lamb, which Satan cannot overcome. Thus, when we are tempted by Satan to be led astray, to be led out of the angel's protecting and guiding hand, we are reminded of this war in heaven, because the strength of Saint Michael and all angels to act swiftly and decisively against Satan was not in and of themselves. Instead, their might was in the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. That blood was shed on your account, not for the sake of the angels. Those words were spoken for you and for me, not for the sake of the angels. So how much more is this might and power for you? These words are words that Satan cannot overcome. The strength of Saint Michael and all angels to act so swiftly and decisively against Satan is the same strength that is given to you on account of God's word and sacrament. For Christ calls you to this very same battle, this same struggle, and even fights for you in your daily life. That is why he teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As Luther explains, God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens us and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. With the testimony of Christ and the blood of the Lamb, the ferocious roaring of that lion becomes less than the quiet purr of a kitten. So we give thanks to God for Saint Michael and all angels, who demonstrated the power of Christ's blood against our enemy, that no power on heaven or earth can overcome. For we stand in the power of Christ and in the blood of the Lamb, who has saved you for all eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.